Well, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, we're pleased as punch, if you will, to have a couple of former field representatives for Senator Jim Inhofe joining us this morning. Bryce in our studios. That's Bryce Marlett, former state senator. I think he's in the oil business now. And then Ryan Sproul joins us, I would guess, maybe from the Fairview area. We'll find out for sure here in just a minute. He spent some time with the senator and then Lieutenant Governor's office. And believe he is. He's with Oklahoma Natural Gas now, ONG. Bryce, first of all, good morning to you. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, gentlemen. Great to be here. And Ryan, great to have you here, too.
You bet. Good morning, everybody.
Ryan, how are you? I assume you're in Fairview. Is that correct? Or are you out and about promoting ONG?
Well, you know, see, I live in Isabella, so we're kind of suburbs here of Fairview in the southeast part of the state. So, yes, sir, I'm here in Major County this morning.
Isabella, just a couple miles south of Fairview. Then you go east on the Isabella Blacktop.
Everybody knows where the Isabella Blacktop is.
Well, you got to go by Progressive Windows.
Yes.
Where the Progressive School used to be to Isabella. So, anyway.
That's right.
Well, we're going to ask you about Annie Kay and Gentry here in just a little bit. Well, you can hold that. We want to kind of visit with you guys here about Senator Inhofe and the late Senator Inhofe. And, you know, it's guys, and Bryce, we'll ask you first. How did you get hooked up with the senator in terms of being a field rep? I know those jobs, I guess, are posted, if you will, and politically minded. Usually young men and women kind of find their way into that. How'd that happen for you? How'd you make that work?
I was from some friends. I'd been on staff for Congressman Lucas for a couple of years, and then I ran for state representative, and some guy from Fairview area beat me in that, and turned out to be the speaker. It worked out pretty well for everybody. And anyway, Senator Inhofe called and asked, and I'd got to know a lot of his staff over the years. He called, and at the same time when that happened, if you remember, Michael Jackson ran for the House over at Enid. He was
Senator Mike Jackson. Yep.
Yep. He was Senator Inhofe's field rep, and he won. Senator Inhofe called and he said, "Hey, I need somebody to take that area over." And I was not interested at the time. And he said, "Give me 6 months." So I gave him 6 months. It turned into 4 years. And he was a great man, great visionary, and very bold in his approach. And was proud to be involved in everything that he did.
Ryan, how about you? How'd you and Senator Inhofe get together?
Well, you know, I really wasn't looking for a job necessarily. I was down at our state capitol working with Oklahoma cattlemen on some bills that we were running. And kind of like Bryce said, ran into some of his guys and had knew a few of them just because I liked the political world and was involved. But I really wasn't looking for a job, but they said, "Hey, we need somebody from Northwest Oklahoma to work for the senator." And I said, "Well, yeah, you know, I'd probably be interested in that." And then, you know, Senator Inhofe calls, and it's like, how do you turn that down, you know? And so here I was. I spent about 6 years with him.
That was going to be my next question, guys. Did the senator have a major role in who his guys and gals are in representing him, if you will? Bryce, did he take an active role in the selection process?
Well, yes. He kind of leans on his state staff to give him a couple of people, and then he always met everybody I knew. And Ryan, you can speak to this, but he was always the final call on anybody that he had out representing him. I mean, the field reps are out there, you know, being the eyes and ears for him and the state while they're gone. And so he was on the field reps, particularly he was involved in deciding who was going to be the final guy or gal.
No, yeah, Bryce was right. I mean, he was the boss, of course. So, our state folks kind of weeded out some of the candidates, and then I met with him at an airport, I think, down at Wiley Post in Oklahoma City. He flew in, of course, and we talked, and, you know, he asked a few questions, and, you know, one of those, are you a Jesus guy? That was important to him.
He always asked that, didn't he?
And then you know, as an ag guy too, I had my boots on, and he said, "Do you wear those boots every day?" And I said, "Well, most every day. These are my town boots, so you know I have different boots." But you know, and then we spent time talking about family, and I mean that was a big thing for him, and that was kind of my interview process, I guess, if you will. But he definitely had the final say in who he wanted representing him.
So. If you all could single out one thing, what impresses you more, or his greatest attribute, I guess, or whatever, I don't know how you want to couch it, but just a tremendous icon, if you will, figure, in not only the nation, but in our part of the world, and he was always locally attuned and so on and so forth. Bryce, what impressed you most about Jim Inhofe?
I would say, you know, he accomplished so much in life in general. He was, you know, I like the word of mountain of a man. You know, his middle name was James Mountain Inhofe, and but I think if Jim were sitting here today, you know, and we were interviewing him, reflecting back on his life, what he would want to talk about is his family. He was so family oriented, so proud of his kids. He has a great family, so proud of his grandkids, and I think that of all the things that he accomplished in life, I think that obviously that was the thing he was most proud of was his family and kids and grandkids, and of course his wife Kay. What do you say, Ryan?
No, you're exactly right. A family, that was his thing. And that kind of extended to us as well. You know, his staff. I mean, you had to prove yourself, and he expected a lot out of you, because he said that's what the folks of Oklahoma deserve. And so once you're in, though, you were part of the Inhofe family, whether you wanted to be or not. You know, that's just, it's been a tough few days. I've thought a lot about that, and just the chance to get to spend with somebody like that, you know, and to be considered part of his family and a friend, really. Just a great mentor. And, you know, one other thing I would mention, and this is something I don't think we see very often in Washington anymore, but, you know, he could be pretty strong in his convictions and had you know, his mindset, but he could also find consensus with other folks. You know, somebody like a Bernie Sanders or a President Obama or a, you know, Senator Boxer from California.
And him and Ted Kennedy were quite close as well.
Yeah, you know, folks like that were completely opposite in their political beliefs, but at the end of the day, they could still get stuff done, and he wouldn't sacrifice his strong conservative, you know, convictions, but he would find a way to build consensus, and so that may be the other thing. I mean, the family, that was his thing. I mean, that was his number one, I think, achievement. And Bryce is right; he was very humble, but he loved talking about his family. But the other thing I would say, his legacy. I mean, he could build coalitions with folks that he would have never thought, and actually get things done: highway bills and water bills. Defense bills, of course, you know, things like that, and I think we could sure use a little more of that in Washington.
You know, he just had hilarious stories about his relationship. He would be caught with Hillary Clinton. He would just tell Hillary Clinton jokes, you know, on and on about it.
He would gouge her pretty frequently.
Yeah, I hope people realize, and I've had the opportunity to work in the Chamber of Commerce as Woodbridge Chamber guy here for the last 20 years or so. I hope people realize kind of the impact he had, and we know he had an impact in the country, and we talk about the getting things done with those that don't necessarily share his political views, but what he did, and we'll really shrink the universe and talk about Woodward, his impact in Woodward, guys, and you both know this, it was tremendous.
Oh, it was, and he had so many friends all over the country, but you know, he had relationships here. Him and Doug were quite close.
I don't know that was, if not one of his first stops. His first stop would be come by the radio station and see Doug Williams. If for some reason he wasn't at a community, Doug was not at a community meeting where Senator Inhofe was here. You know, one of the first things Senator Inhofe was, "Where's my friend Doug Williams? Why isn't Doug here?" You know,
yeah.
And that was one of his and his trips, guys. And Ryan, both of you I know can speak to this, were kind of sometimes very not necessarily shooting from the hip, but short plans. I mean, we'd get a call that, hey, I'm going to be in town tomorrow, you know, can you set something up, get some people together, you know? So his meetings sometimes were hastily put together, I guess, Ryan.
You know, you're right. You know, with him being a pilot, he could be anywhere pretty quick. And you know, I think it maybe was a bit of a challenge as a staffer when he called you up and said, hey, I'm headed to the you know, airport. I'll be in Woodward in an hour. And I'm thinking, well, you know, sir, I can be to Woodward in about an hour and 10 minutes. So you're trying to figure out how you can beat him there. but no, it was. I mean, and that's, you know, kind of going back to him, like, but he said, I got to get back home. You know, he'd come back home every weekend. He said, I got to get out where the real people are at and hear what's going on. And yeah, Woodward was pretty special to him. And, you know, I always joked him. I said, I know you're a Tulsa guy, but I said, I think you're really, you know, meant to be in Western Oklahoma. I mean, he just really loved the folks out here and he loved everybody in Oklahoma, but he just seemed like he really had an affection for coming out west here in our part of the world. And yeah, J-Doug, that was usually my second call. I always had to call the airport first, make sure, you know, they knew he was coming in. If it was summertime, he had to have shade, you know, for his airplane. And then of course, Mr. Williams was that second call. And then make sure we had a little Wags barbecue that he could take home to Miss Kay.
I'll be darned. Guys, did you fly with him? His flying adventures are well documented. Did he strap you in the plane with him and take you places? Did you ever fly with the senator?
Yes, he had a couple of planes, and you know, one of the times I flew with him was the first time for some reason he was dropping me off in Perry, Oklahoma at the airport, and he was in one of his smaller planes at the time, and it was just the two of us in there. So I'm sitting in the co-pilot seat, and we're flying along there talking, and all of a sudden he says, whoops, there's the airport. We got ready to flow over, and he just banks that thing as hard as he can. And as he banks it, he looks, I'm now sitting above him because we've got it banked. And my face must have turned about three shades of white. And he just looks up at me real calmly, and he says, you know, I can take it on over if you'd like. And I said, no, sir. I just want to get on the ground. And he just giggled. You know, he knew he was a very, very accomplished pilot and obviously wouldn't do anything to put anybody in danger. But he did like getting a scare out of you every now and then if you were new.
Ryan, I guess you flew with him as well.
You know, just a few times. I learned pretty quick with Jim Inhofe, and in all honesty, the guy had over 11,000 flying hours, so I wasn't scared to fly with him, of course. But he was a bit notorious for, you know, we may be in Woodward, and then he would I just fly back to Tulsa, and then you got to kind of figure out how you're going to get back to Isabella. So yes. I just figured it might be easier and quicker and safer to just drive my own car and meet him. But I had the pleasure of flying with him a few times, and you know, honestly, I would probably rather fly with him than him be driving me in a car. He drove me in a car in Washington D.C. and he said, you know, I'm a better pilot than I am a driver, and he wasn't lying. So I don't know if Bryce ever rode with him in a car, but
no.
I only did that once, and that was enough for me.
Guys, I don't want to put you on the spot, but that's what I do. So, Bryce, we'll start with you. If you could take one thing, one life lesson, one experience, whatever, with your relationship over the years with Senator Jim Inhofe, what pops up? I mean, do you have something that sticks out there?
I think what we talked about earlier, you know, he never forgot. He accomplished so many different things. You know, he started out in the state house and the state senate, was mayor, ran for governor. He won elections. He lost elections. He was elected into Boren's seat in 94, you know, and was just a godfather of the Senate, very well respected. But he never forgot where he came from. He never, his priority was always Miss Kay and the kids and the grandkids, and he never forgot where he came from. He never wavered in his faith. He was always so strong in his faith, and he just an amazing man who accomplished so much, but always stayed grounded, always remembered where he came from, what was important, and that was his faith and his family. And I'm proud to have been associated with them. There's stories after stories, and so many fun ones, like the race with Governor Boren when they right. ran against each other. There's some funny stories on how they did that, but I think that's the main thing is how he stayed grounded and remained to keep everything important in his faith and his family.
Ryan, what about you? What sticks out? What life lessons or whatever?
Yeah, it's hard to pick out just one. And all the things that Bryce said, I mean, I would sure agree with that. I think, you know, for me, it's, you know, I've got two young kids at home now, and just the family aspect of it, you know, I mean, that was so important to him, that all of these great things that he did and the people that he met, you know, and presidents and, you know, generals and astronauts and mayors and chamber directors and all these great people we got to work with. But at the end of the day, he's like, you know, his family. I think that included, you know, us as staff. That was it. You know, we do all of these things for our family. Just like Bryce said, I mean, there's so many stories you could tell. Some we probably shouldn't tell on the air, but, you know, like for me, I've got my youngest Gentry, him and her share a birthday, November 17th. They're born 87 years apart, but, you know, they share a birthday. And he said, "Oh, that's good." He said, "You'll never forget my birthday." And I was like, "Well, sir, I wouldn't do that anyways." But, you know, it just seems like we'll always be connected, you know, on something like that. And he called while we were in the hospital, called Christy and I, and we missed the first call, so he left a voicemail. And at the time, I was like, "Oh my gosh, I missed a call from the boss. Like, you don't do that." Like, ah. So he left a voicemail, and I found out the other day. And gosh, I'm kind of glad I missed it now, because I've got that. And then we talked later. But just the taking care of your family, taking care of, and again, that can be extended, you know, out to staff or just the folks here in Oklahoma, and the legacy that he left. And it was just great to be a part of that, and you know, have that brotherhood of has-beens and former Inhofe staffers, so that that I'll always get to have a good group of folks behind me. And just, it was a great run. I wish that, you know, we'd still be there, all of us, I think, if he was still in the Senate, because it was just a great man to work for.
And he was a great guy with staff, in regards to he never held anybody back. If there was something, you know, that came along that you talked to him about career wise, that
he'd help you.
He would. He did not. He was not one of those guys who tried to keep everybody tied down. He wanted his people to thrive, and he wanted them to be able to go do other things. So he was just a great boss. And you know, one of the things you talk about family, I said, am I running over here?
No, you're fine.
I was talking to his daughter one day. We were down in Altus, and his daughter and son-in-law were down there. We were visiting about his schedule, and I said, how in the world he's done this stuff? Did you ever see him growing up? And she said, you know, we always knew when Dad was, you know, he had a great career, privately and publicly. And she said, but whenever he was home, he was home. He did not, you know, when he was at work, he was at work. When he came home, all the focus was on us kids. We never doubted, you know, whether our dad was there for us or anything like that. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Ryan Sproul and Bryce Marnott, thank you guys very much for taking some time this morning and sharing your thoughts and experiences with an absolutely not only great American, but a great Oklahoman, Jim Inhofe, who we lost way too soon here several days ago. So, guys, thanks. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us. Ryan, good talking to you.
Yeah, you too. No, thank you, guys. Would love to. We can tell more stories later off air, but thank you, guys.
Okay.